Welcome to People Power and Politics, hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
Good day. My name is Ashley Dawkins, and today in the studio, we have Mr. Chris Banks running for City Council District 42. Tell our listeners who you are and what your qualifications are to hold office.
Well, my name is Chris Banks. I'm a candidate for the New York City Council, and I'm running to represent the 42nd Councilmatic District, which represents East New York, Canarsie, East Flatbush, and a small portion of Brownsville. My parents immigrated from this country. My mother immigrated from this country, from Trinidad and Tobago. My father's actually African-American from Houston, Texas. My mother came to this country, started a small business in East New York. I would believe my mother raising me gave me the acumen, the background to just to be a fighter and to stand up for my community. So that to me was very important, having a strong mother who was able to show me and come to this country and make it amongst a lot of odds that were against her as being a Caribbean American immigrating to this country. So that's where I think I get my fight from. And a portion of it actually supports my passion, making sure that that East New York is, or the 42nd Councilmatic District, that we're not fighting from behind, that we're ahead of a lot of the issues that we can see that we know are coming or already we've been dealing with for the last umpteen years. You know, over the course of the years that I've been organizing and fighting for residents throughout the 42nd Councilmatic District, that folks understand that it's important to know that your next elected city council person is going to be someone that's going to think about you day in and day out and is going to remember. I mean, you know, I'm from East New York. I'm integrated amongst the people. I think I'm more East New York than some folks that say they know about East New York or maybe from East New York. We I know my community like the back of my hand, and I'll be willing to fight and lay down my life to see my community grow and stand up for it. So
let's get straight to the issues. New York City public school system has been the most segregated school system in the country for over a decade. Our research staff has concluded that open enrollment is the solution. Do you agree, and why, or what is your answer to this problem?
Well, first of all, I don't fully agree that enrollment is a major issue. It is an issue, but I believe funding is an issue. You know, we know in our particular schools that we lack funding. We get the back end of the stick all the time when it comes to dollars in our schools and just the quality of the educators that are coming to teach our kids. So I believe funding, we need to get back to the argument where we bring parity back to the funding, and we push a more culturally diverse curriculum that teaches black and brown students about their history and their past. Because truly, if you want to get to the root of why black and brown kids are not being educated, they're not comfortable with a more European-centric curriculum that teaches them to hate themselves.
Affordable housing or low-income housing, what is the priority for the district you wish to serve, and what are your ideas to implement them?
Affordable housing to who? That's always been an issue in our district. And we've been getting a lot of housing that has been coming to the district. Issue is the process of how folks are selected, this lottery process that is supposed to be overseen by HUD and HPD. You know, when you're disqualifying the folks, the indigenous folks from the community off of credit, things of that nature, how do we benefit? If we're being hurt, so we want to look at that particular system. We believe that system doesn't help our community; it hurts us. And I'll give you an example: when a housing project comes to the community, 50% of it is supposed to be dedicated to residents who live in our particular community board, which is Community Board 5. The other 50% is other set asides, maybe city workers, so forth and so forth. The my concern is a set aside for community board. The 50% is dedicated to the community board. What happens is that the say you may get 60,000 applications put in citywide, or maybe 100,000 applications put in citywide. What happens is that when a person from the 11207 or 11208 zip code or 11239 zip code puts in an application, if they get knocked out the bunch, the seat is not exclusively, it doesn't go back to that particular 50% pool. It goes back to the general pool, and then we lose a slot. So that's the reason why we're having a bunch of housing being built, but the indigenous folks in the community are not benefiting, and you're having folks from other communities who are taking advantage and getting the opportunity. So we're losing out.
What can you do to make sure that you're not losing out, to put your community or the members in your community first so that they're not losing out?
Well, I think it's going to have to be creating an apparatus to teach folks how to fill out the application. That's one. Then partnering with federal and other state elected officials, especially the ones that represent our particular district, to look at the HUD regs when it comes to the qualifications for the particular lottery and change them up. They should be retrofitted to what the district, the dynamics of the district. And I believe that will go a long way with getting folks who live in East New York into the housing stock that's supposed to be for residents within East New York.
Home ownership is a path to funding small businesses and complementing people's funding retirement plans. What are your plans to encourage home ownership, battle predatory lending, and assist people who may be losing their homes?
I think that's when we look inwards as a community and we help to clean up people's credits. We look to give people jobs that are incomes that they could, so they could afford to be able to qualify for loans. And yeah, I think that would kind of be some of the things I would look at to look, and also look at some of the local banks to see, the percentage of loans that they're giving to the community. And I know that's been an issue over the years out in East New York, where you have local banks and there's the percentage of loans that are coming from those local banks are extremely low, and they're giving loans to folks outside the community.
You mentioned getting people within the community the appropriate jobs so that they can afford this path to home ownership. How would you go about getting them these jobs or helping them to attain these jobs? Is that through education? Is that through more getting more jobs open to people?
Well, obviously, we need to look at education. Obviously, we need to retrofit. What does education look like to the individuals in my community? Not everybody is college bound. Some folks want to do trade. So I think we want to have like a very comprehensive approach to that, where we're looking at those folks who want to do trade, those folks who want to go college. We've seen with the high cost of college and, that it is not apropos all the time to get a college degree, where folks are coming out of school and they're being slaves to debt. And at the same time, obviously, I'm a big supporter of obviously cutting off student debt. But in the meantime, we have to look at I think we have to have a realistic approach, and it would be a focus on how do we create jobs and bring jobs in the community that will actually stabilize our community and be help build a foundation out.
When it comes to police misconduct, our research team blames the 48-hour rule. Are you familiar with this rule, and how will you address this issue?
Okay, well, listen, I'm a big supporter of police accountability, mm-hmm. transparency. That's why I was a big supporter of the cops having the cameras being placed on them. And not only that, but making sure that those cameras ran 24/7, or there was no control of them by the particular officer who was wearing it. Transparency is important. So that's not a rule I would support. Because it to me, I think officers, as soon as an incident happened, they should be able to be questioned.
People power and politics, hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's people power and politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.